Hello, welcome to this week's episode of this month's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 244. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me, the finest Great. People that I know through Skype, Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. Lee, I thought you should go first this time.
Oh, guys.
Ladies first.
Hello.
This is like a complete reboot. It's like Saved by the Bell, the new class, but John S, aka Screech, is sticking around. I'll be Mr. Belding, and then Lee's
Wait,
running
do I
the
get
max.
To be?
No, you're running the max.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
Where the kids are still hanging out. So,
all right, got it. Okay. You know, Screech did porn.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Awesome. All right. So that's gonna do it for this week's episode. I'm glad that you were informed on that, and we can continue to live our lives. But, being that we are the fitness podcast that we are, we do get serious at times. A couple quick things I want to quickly mention. And I hope this point gets across is that although we try to be informative, we try to have a good time because you know this industry can get a wee bit serious at times with people arguing about stuff.
Oh my God.
It can. You know, people.
He didn't even introduce me, Lee. He didn't
No, I said
It's because you're Screech or Mr. Belding. Yeah. I didn't catch which new class.
No,
member
you can
are.
Be. No. You're the guy that replaced the guy who used to run the max. Or
no,
the
like you didn't introduce me in the podcast. Like, oh, and along with Lee and myself.
No, that's what you got, John. That's
that
what
was
you
my
got.
Introduction.
Introduction.
And by the way, this is John and he's Screech.
John.
Just because you have like the most important job here does not mean that you get a proper introduction.
See, this is the best part. This is what makes people hate this show and love this show.
That's right.
So that's why we don't toe the line. We either have people that really love the show and like.
We love your polar reactions about us.
Because the 5 stars and the 0-star reviews
says it all.
Certainly,
we don't get threes around here.
Yeah. I don't either. This is the greatest thing I've ever heard of, or I would rather step in crap.
Like the wet stuff, not the stuff that's been outside for a couple of days. Like the stuff that's fresh. Jonathan Fast is here. He's been globetrotting, doing his Richard Branson. So he is back in the sandy Saudi Arabia.
True. Allergies like well.
I hear it's going good over there right now. It's pretty things are good.
Yeah.
Great. So let's go into the stuff that we're going to talk about before we get into the discussions.
The stuff we talk about.
The stuff. So first off, I'm going to be interviewing Dan John this upcoming week, and he is one of my most favorite interviews. I've been busy the last couple of weeks. We've been doing some MBSC Thrive on-site trainings. We started our fall session, so with the coaching and personal training and the Body by Bo Online and the Thrive stuff. Time has been a wee bit tight. That's the second wee of the show. If people are keeping count, and you're going to start taking shots from it. But Dan John's going to be coming on the show this week. If you have questions or topics that you would like us to discuss, send them to questions@thefitcast.com. You can also hit me up on Facebook or Twitter and send those questions that way. But more or less, we're going to kind of just start it. And if you've listened to his interviews before, we kind of just get the ball rolling and I hand it off. Like it's just like a straight up handoff to Reggie Bush and he just runs it 100 yards. So that's going to be awesome. So if you do have questions or specific stuff that you want us to talk about, send that stuff in. I'm going to do my best to get the show out this Sunday, like within an hour after we record it. So people can know about that because I think we're going to tentatively try to record it on Tuesday. If not, we're going to do it on Thursday. So keep a lookout for that. Honestly, in a small handful, one of the best people in this industry in terms of genuine, awesome people and very knowledgeable. And he's just got always great stuff to talk about. So I'm super pumped to have him on. And also some other cool stuff that's going on. Lee, I did see on Facebook that you are doing another challenge. I want the listeners to get a heads up on what is going on so they can participate if they would like to.
I am doing a challenge.
What's up?
I do not every year, but some years I do. It's a cheesy name, but they like it. It's called Hot for the Holidays, and basically it's an 8-week challenge right before the holidays come. So I kind of look at it as either you can get really hot for having to see your family, or you can lose some fat before you put it back on from all of the holiday eating that it is you're going to do, whatever. But it's an 8-week challenge. And with this one, all you have to do is lose at least 2% body fat, either through gaining some muscle or losing some body fat, whichever way it is, change up the ratio and finish. And if you do that, you'll get a prize. And what the prize is going to be really basically depends on how many people finish, because it's going to be kind of like a pot. And whoever finishes and does what it is they need to do, get what's in the pot. And, so if only a few people finish, they're going to get a very nice pot. But if a lot of people finish, it'll be divided up between them. So, that's basically it. It's pretty simple. You just need a photo to begin and then a photo to end. Compliance, we have chats, we have forums. If you submit your entry and you say that you're in the challenge, you have to check in every week for accountability. If you submitted to enter in a challenge and you do not check in, you're going to be getting a personal email from me to check in to try and encourage a little bit more accountability and make you feel guilty, basically. And it's basically just to try to keep you on track for 8 weeks and then just see what you can knock out in 8 weeks. But it isn't too extreme. It isn't, all or nothing kind of thing. So that's it. That's the challenge. And it should be fun. It's always fun. And got a lot of people in it already. And I think it'll be good times.
Super cool. Love
I
it.
Often am.
Yeah. The holidays are fast approaching.
They are. I already saw Christmas stuff up in stores.
No, I mean Halloween. So are you guys doing Halloween costumes this year?
I am going to be a weasel from Roger Rabbit and wear no pants and have a Tommy gun. I'm excited.
Wear no pants?
Well, they don't wear pants because, they just have on, suits and ties, but no bottoms. So, it's all these people are doing Roger Rabbit. Katie's being Jessica Rabbit, obviously. And some various other people are.
You going to get some pics of this? Or
there will be pictures, apparently. And I will be wearing no pants and have a Tommy gun. I'm very excited. It's either that or the fat baby with a cigar. So I chose the weasels.
All right. John, you guys, Halloween's a big holiday over there. So what are you going to be going as?
Really, John? Yes. I didn't know that. Is Halloween a big holiday over
it's,
there?
It's,
yeah.
To be honest,
half the population really? Dresses up like ghosts and the other half like ninjas.
See? There we go. That's amazing.
Okay. I'm going to have a very special, we're doing a Mike Boyle strength and conditioning Halloween party this year. So look for some pictures soon. I'm going to be bringing it this year. That's as in-depth as I can get, but it'll be good stuff. You guys talk about fitness stuff. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get into the topics. We got tons of cool stuff that we're going to talk about, including that whole fish oil study that came out, talking about branching amino acids. We're going to talk about exercises that people shouldn't be doing. We also have some cool stuff. Really interesting topic about your significant other and dealing with their habits and compliance and whatnot. So stick around, hear some cool music. We'll be right back. We're here for the discussion section where we have a lot of stuff to talk about. We have quite a bit of laundry to get through. first thing we want to talk about is side story. This is kind of how it is with, you know, people in our, you know, our industry. We see our parents and we see friends and they're like, oh, so it looks like you shouldn't have been taking all that fish oil you've been taking for all these years. And when
friends also from the Dakotas?
Yeah, no, they spent some time up in the Bronx too. But the you know, when you get that and it's like, oh great, it's like this is what happens with all this stuff, and you realize it after like seeing a lot of the stuff and talking to you, like from me talking to you guys, that you have these so many things that come out where there's one study that comes out of 300 studies that have been done on something, and one that disputes it, and then that's what the media runs with because it's some cool, awesome story to talk about. And most of the time, when they actually look at it, which they don't, because they're just, you know, common everyday media, there's holes in the research and, you know, in the ways that they actually conducted the study. And same thing with any kind of like reviews. Like, I hate it when people do effing research reviews, or they do reviews on a subject to use that as evidence, and then they just like cherry pick the friggin' reviews that they use. Yep. Like, all right, fine, so I'm gonna do 10 here, there's 10 studies that go up against it, even though there's still like another 200 that don't. But Lee and John, you guys are nerds, so I'm gonna ask you, because you probably looked at this study. I didn't look at the study, but I know fish oil is good stuff. Lee, I'm going to throw it to Lee first, because this is Lee. You're into nutrition, right?
I am.
But what was your take on this when you saw it?
Well, let's.
And can people still take fish oil? Is this something that's okay, or should they throw the bottles out?
Here's the thing about fish oil, anyway.
Yeah.
For one, we don't know that it's going to do good for you anyway. We don't know that for a fact anyway. So we just have a lot of correlation, and we have a lot of individual studies on different things, and we have a thought that maybe certain amounts could be possibly beneficial, and we also have thoughts that could be maybe certain amounts could be bad, especially depending on certain populations. I know that megadosing, which is very popular right now, is a very unsupported research thing, and I think that it's actually like a very dangerous thing to be playing with, because we've seen that there can be negative effects with megadosing, especially in older populations. So as far as fish oil goes,
mind if I'll pause you for a second, because that's a great thing to hit on real quick, because that's like one of the things that, again, you know, working at a facility, we have people that come up to us like, oh, you know, what about fish oil? Like, how much is the right amount to take? And we seem to kind of go back and forth from things that we hear on the, you know, popular media, or even same things that we hear on like articles throughout the internet. What would you, Lee Peel, classify as like, or what would they classify as mega dosing, opposed to like your standard, what you would consider something that you would recommend to, everyday person on the street?
Well, mega dosing, when I'm speaking of mega dosing, I'm not going to speak in particular, but I have read, I'm not going to name names out of school, but I have read some individuals in the industry that recommend dosing as much as sometimes upward to 15, 20 grams a day, even more based upon. Yeah. And there's some people that have been on this show. For real. And
don't
that's
worry,
fine.
Lee, you can come on my podcast and call him out. I'm all for it.
It's fine. Well, the thing is, like, you know, I would say, I mean, maybe there's a context, but they're not talking about, like, for example, when you look at research and fish oil, there's a lot of research that points to fish oil being a possible anti-inflammatory. So for one, this, the risk of cardiovascular disease and whatnot, it's not necessarily what fish oil is always talked about as being where it's like it's king anyway. Usually where it's talked about it being so king is more in RA or in inflammation disorders, autoimmune issues, things like that. That's usually where we're trying to see a lot of stuff with, in my personal opinion, where you see some of the best kind of studies come about speaking for fish oil. But a lot of people talk about like, oh, blood thinning and things like that, and stroke risk, cardiovascular. I mean, you also just have to get in what causes these things in the first place, and then that's a whole other cluster. But when you're looking at what's safe or what's recommended for the general individual, you basically have to look at, well, why are we taking it in the first place? What is the point? And the point of getting these omega-3s is, you know, one, a balance of your fatty acids. And because the average population has a lot more of omega-6 or saturated fatty acids, like they don't have as much of this type of fatty acid. We see that diets that are more balanced in fatty acids, and I'll just keep it very simple, but diets that are more balanced in fatty acids tend to lead to, in correlation or these type of large base kind of field studies, it tends to lead to a better health outcome, meaning that people that eat more of a balanced of fatty acids tend to have a more healthy based life. And that's kind of where the no duh moment comes in. Variety of nutrition, lots of variety of different kind of proteins and fatty acids, you seem to be more healthier versus eating a bunch of processed crap that usually only has a certain amount of kind of fatty acids. You could potentially be a less healthy person. That's kind of where it all stems from in a way. It started a lot with the fish and eating fish and salmon and all these kind of things and different diets and them examining and things like that. Somehow we get here and we get to the this study, which as far as study goes, it's a review. It's looking at things based upon mortality and death. It basically doesn't affect you at all if you've never had a heart attack or any sort of risk of cardiovascular disease or anything like that. But it doesn't really apply to anyone that doesn't even into that category anyway, or if you're European or the other kind of things that they looked at. They took out everything that doesn't have to do with these types of things. I mean, there's literally, what is it, like 4,000 studies on fish oil?
3,635.
Okay,
citations.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's insane.
But they did it on 20 studies.
Yeah, they did it on 20 studies. And of that, you know, how many was just based on supplementation? And so there's so many things to look at there. So does this, you know, open and close shut the case on taking it if you potentially have like a cardiovascular risk? No, not at all. Is fish oil something that everyone should be taking every day? I don't see anything to suggest that anyone needs to be taking fish oil. I've never seen one thing that suggests that anybody needs to be taking fish oil every day. It does not exist. You can't find a study that says if you don't take fish oil, you're going to die faster than someone that takes fish oil. However, is there a lot of evidence that can suggest that having a balance of fatty acids could potentially lead you to having a healthier life or maybe doing, you know, just better in general with things like inflammation or autoimmune disorders, or it just means that you care more about your health, therefore you're just going to live longer, whatever. Yes, there's a lot. There's just tons of evidence that can like go to support that, especially with training, and it's a really deep subject. So to me, do I think that it's smart or somewhat cautious to think about taking fish oil every day? Does it look like it does anything bad in small amounts? It doesn't really appear that it's an oil. I mean, it's you know, we eat oils all day long. I mean, it's fat. It's a fatty acid. So I can't really see how it would necessarily present anything bad as long as you don't have some sort of specific health reaction to it, to take it as a precaution or as an insurance event, which is why we take most vitamins. Throwing it in a mix, is it really that bad of a thing to do? I don't really see anything that suggests that it's a bad thing to do. Is it something you need to do? I don't really see anything that suggests that either. So if you want to be up in the midst of things and think, hey, I'm going to throw this into my kind of rounds of vitamins and my daily dietary habits and whatnot, I'm going to see what happens. Do I feel better? Do I not feel better? Does it affect me? Are you dealing with your own placebo things? That's a whole other matter. But you can throw it in and you can see if it can maybe help with like your health or inflammation or balance of fatty acids and just, you know, give it a go. Does it need to be more than 2 or 3 grams a day? No, absolutely not. I don't think so, unless that you're trying to specifically look at if you're having serious issues with inflammation disorders or any sort of autoimmune disorders that could cause you to need that kind of replacement or need that kind of excessive amount of omega-3 fatty acids or specifically fish oil. If that is the case, and you're also talking to a doctor or working with some sort of special registered dietitian, then maybe you should think about maybe investigating into that and upping your dosages and like kind of seeing what happens if your inflammation subsides a little bit, if things get better, if there's some sort of a problem taking place. Because in general, we do need some inflammation. It's good, especially if we're doing weight training. We don't want it all to go away. But if you're having problems with like RA or something like that, maybe ketogenic-based diets could be something that could help you. Maybe an increase in omega-3 fatty acids could be something that could help you. But overall, the average person who is a healthy individual, how much fish oil did they need? none. How much could they take if they so wanted to add a little bit of insurance or balance of fatty acids? 2 to 3 grams a day is pretty much standard, and we don't really see any need more than that. So that's my take.
That was fairly kick-ass, and I agree with it. And I think that the point here was exactly made, that this is not – I've read a lot of reviews on this, and they're all bashing – this study. It was Association Between Omega-3 Fatty Acid Supplementation and Risk of Major Cardiovascular Disease Events, a systematic review and meta-analysis, right, in the Journal of American Medical Association, just for anyone that hasn't come across this yet. Those reviews, right, they're bashing it, like, oh, there's no way, there's so many studies that show that fish oil works, and that's not what this study was about. I mean, first we have to consider the fact that it is a meta-analysis, which means that it's a fairly important piece of the literature. It's not a single study. It's conducted by looking at multiple studies that have been produced, and those are very important because they can show us trends. They take all those little studies of, you know, 10 or 100 people, and now you have thousands of people when you take, you know, 10, 15, 20 studies. I can't really speak on the studies that they chose versus the ones that they didn't, but that's standard. That's a typical approach for a meta-analysis. I can't look at 3,000 studies.
To look at the individual, to look at the individual, this would take as long as it took them to actually do the study themselves.
So they don't do that. They have criteria for inclusion, just like you have criteria for inclusion for a regular study. If I'm a pregnant woman, I may not include you in my study if I fear that there will be risk to your pregnancy. And that's how we have inclusion exclusion criteria in a study. So the same thing occurs here in a meta-analysis. The authors will look at certain inclusion criteria. If your study doesn't have that criteria, your study is not included in my meta-analysis. So, you know, first those shots of people saying, well, they only looked at 20 studies, that's what they looked at, you know. And again, that doesn't mean that you won't have another meta-analysis down the line that may have different findings because they had different inclusion criteria or exclusion criteria, but that's what the study is about. And it doesn't make it a poor study just because that's how many, you know, reviews that they looked at. I mean, that includes 68,680 patients.
Yeah.
So
specifically in heart attacks, strokes, mortality.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with all those other studies that have to do with just all kinds of other stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. And this was high risk people, patients at high risk for cardiovascular events. Mm-hmm. So if you're of normal health, if you are not at a high risk for a cardiovascular event, the findings of this study do not pertain to you. In the same way, these patients were on all kinds of other medications along with the intervention. So because they were high risk, they didn't just give them fish oil and say, let's see what happens. These patients were on all kinds of drugs,
blood thinners,
and triglyceride medicines. And so basically what this is saying is if you are already on this medication, you may not receive benefit from fish oil. But there's another part of this too. The average dose was about 1.5 grams a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were very few of the studies that they included that had anything approaching what the FDA has approved as a high dosing of fish oil, which is 2 to 3 grams a day. So we're already excluding something that the FDA has approved as a high dose, 2 to 3 grams a day. So now we've got more information. This is saying if you're on these kinds of medications and you're taking a low dose of fish oil, then you may not get anything going on here. That's perfectly fine. That's a legitimate finding. And everyone raising hell, there's no hell to be raised. It just doesn't apply to you or apply to the normal population. And I thought there was something that was very interesting that the authors pointed out, that there was a trend towards benefit in terms of sudden death. There's a 13% reduction, and myocardial infarction or heart attack, about 10% reduction. But those decreases weren't statistically significant. So that means that they can't claim that the fish oil really caused that. It may have just been by chance. And usually I can't stand when they report, like, you know, approaching statistical relevance. That to me is second place is approaching first place. Yeah, it was, but you still lost the race. It doesn't mean anything, you know. But in this case, when we have a dose response, when we're looking at the amount of fish oil provided and then the amount of benefit that we got out of it, I think that this is important, because what this is kind of saying, again, if I'm, you know, a registered dietitian, I'm working with this kind of population, or I'm a medical doctor, an internist, or whatever, and I'm working with populations like this, you know, a cardiologist, and I think that maybe my patients might benefit from supplementing with fish oil, then I know that low amounts, 1.5 grams a day, probably won't do anything, and I might consider giving them higher amounts, because it seemed like maybe something would have happened if they were just taking a little bit more, because that's what approaching means. So in a dose response kind of study, that might have some validity. We might say that, you know what, this one wasn't so good, but now let's do a meta-analysis where the same group was taking 3 grams. And let's see if that had any statistical significance of change. So that I did think was an important mention in the study. But then otherwise, I mean, I'm not a nutrition expert. I don't work with this population, but I don't have a problem with the study at all. And I actually have a problem with the people that were just ripping it to shreds, because to me, that's not someone that's thinking about what the study is actually saying. They're interpreting what the study means to them. And that's not what we do with research. Mm-hmm. If the study doesn't apply.
I think the issue is more what people are taking from the study, not the study itself, which usually isn't that what usually happens anyway. I mean, that's classically what's taking place. I mean, let's look at the, I don't even want to talk about the horrific GMO study that just came out, but.
And, you know, and that's too, because it not only it is the media and how they're reporting this, you know, having the headline of, if you're at high risk for cardiovascular event and taking other medication, it's not, no one's going to read that. But if you say fish oil does not prevent from sudden death, you're going to, whoa, okay, I got to read about this because I thought fish oil was good. And at the same time, even, you know, if you read the conclusions, they don't really mention that in the conclusion. They also said, you know, the supplementation was not associated with lower risk of all-cause mortality. That's not really a true statement. You have to be more specific about it, because the study was more specific. So it is, you know, like Kevin was alluding to, I mean, it does get into this whole, where are you getting your information from? And if you're reading newspapers or magazines and you read a blurb about this, you're not really understanding what this actually means or what it's actually telling you. So you have to, in the least, I think, you know, like for me, I'll read the write-up on it in, you know, like HeartWire or something like this, you know, like a more pseudo-professional kind of thing, because I don't work with a population like this, and I'm not, you know, talking to them about nutrition anyway. That's not my scope of practice. So I would look at this and I would say, okay, that's cool, and then move on, because it doesn't affect me. But for people that think that it does affect them, you've got to read this study, because you've got to find out, does it really affect me or not? And if it does, if you're a person that could have been considered for this study, you need to understand then, is this study good? Is this a quality study where I need to consider what the findings are, as opposed to saying, you know, oh, is this meta-analysis? Ah, it's crap. It's garbage. I've read other studies. And that's not how you evaluate research.
All right. I think we exhausted that topic. And we have lots of other stuff to talk about. So we're going to move on. If people have follow-up questions, they can feel free to send John personal messages with pics.
Wait, how come I don't get personal messages with pics?
Lee, how many picks do you get a day?
Okay, yeah.
Like, I thought you were getting enough.
So silly.
Oh, man. Cool question from superfan Krista on the show. I'd love to hear you guys chat about dating or relationships when your significant other gains fat or stops working out or refuses to start altogether. The right way to motivate them, or she wants to know the right way to motivate them, and when it's a deal breaker. Here's hoping for some fun personal anecdotes. I got some stories. You got some stories? Lee knows I got some stories.
You got some stories.
Man, let's talk about, now that we're already like on the internet, let's get some of our personal laundry crap on the internet, you know? I don't know how much to, because the problem is I'm going to say stuff and then I'm going to edit it out. And
you just got to, no filter, Kevin. You just got to
Okay, I'm, without getting into specifics, yeah, I've dated women who have had different lifestyles in terms of, and to be honest, like it wasn't like a, you know, I've dated some fine looking women if they're listening out there, but the you know sometimes when it does come to like fitness and nutrition being a big part of your life and your lifestyle. Yeah, I could see how it could become a problem for people whose significant others do not follow the same path or in the same ballpark or at least willing to be open. It's not like you want someone who says, oh my God, you're drinking another protein shake or why do you have to go to the gym again? You know, why don't you stay home and eat some like Mounds bars and caramel popcorn and watch the you know, Three Ninjas. So I think that
I think you're talking about someone very specific.
No, but like even like I you know in the past I'll give you an example. I was dating someone a couple years ago and I try to be flexible. Like she's like, I really want to make you tacos. Like I'm like, all right, like I'll have tacos because she's like, I'm really good at making tacos. So she made tacos and I ate tacos and that was okay. But again, it's like one of those.
Okay, so wait. Okay, so you're dating someone, and they say to you, they say that they want to make you tacos, and you let them
make me tacos, Lee. And it wasn't like holy okay, let me back this up because it wasn't even like.
We need
like,
detail.
Good tacos. Like, she went to the store. She bought, like, the pre-made shells and shit. And, like, she just bought, like, a pound. Like, I bought.
So it wasn't like she's some really, like, awesome, like, Mexican chica.
No, she bought, like, the powder.
She's, like, rolling out the, like, flour tortillas for you.
No.
And really just going to town. She just went and got some, like, old El Paso.
No, she got, like, the mix of the powder.
She went over to Taco Bell.
No, she was not like what's her face from White Man Can't Jump.
Oh, Rosie Perez. Yes.
Rosie Perez.
Yeah, I can't do that voice, but you know, I honestly like I've even tried to like think like it won't be an issue, and I was recently dating someone and like she ran a lot. She was a runner. She liked to go running, and I like have put in like hints like, oh, you know, like. I'm going to go to the football field to do sprints. Do you want to do like, maybe we can do sprints and like do that stuff. It's like, oh no, I'll come over after you do the sprints. You go do your sprints and then I'll come over.
Why didn't she want to do the sprints with you?
You would know better than me. Like, I don't know.
I think that's a little weird. I'd be like jazz. I'd be like, hey, let's go do sprints together.
No, because I have like the TRX in my house. I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's cool. I'll bring the TRX and like, you know, we can do some like cool stuff down to the football field. She's like, I think part of it is, and this is something that like we all have to understand is that with that significant other that you have to kind of understand that they are not always going to be comfortable in that situation. You know, I've known people who have dated people and they've like waited who are into the, like the industry and they waited till like the gym is closed or something like that to bring them in to get them introduced to strength and conditioning because a big part of it is like they don't want to, you know, get into it and be like totally like shut down when you're doing all this cool stuff that they can't do just yet because they're new to it. So I can totally understand that. And I think that's something that's worth considering. But, Ali, you're much more on like the relationship advice. What do you do? Because I'm sure you've had like clients that have like had problems getting people interested in.
Sure. Cause I just date people that are really out of shape and don't even bother. Okay. Let's see. What I personally think, I mean, I think in general.
Wait, hold on. I got to ask you real quick. I saw a picture the other day of like Val Kilmer with a blonde on the beach. Was that you?
That was totally.
Oh,
me.
Man.
Actually, do you know he's like my dream client? Because I'm like obsessed with Val Kilmer. And if anyone's listening and they know like Val Kilmer's agent or something, I want to be his trainer. So get in touch with me.
I think the sound guy from Batman Forever listens to the,
like
listens
really
to the show.
Like, really like Val Kilmer. Like, really like him. Anyway. I want to get his tubby off for him and be the one that like helped him. That's what I want to do because I know he wants it. I've read the interview, so Val, contact
me. It's working for him, okay? Now. He's playing that like
it's
overweight
not. It's not working for him,
now.
John. Have you seen? He's unhappy, man. He is tortured. Dude, it's not working for him, okay? Anyway, it's very common, at least for the things that like I see with clients and the people that I talk to, that one is making a change and the other is not. Essentially, they don't want to, or they're not in the mood, or they're not in that place. And I find that it's the biggest problem when they've gotten into the relationship more kind of on the same page or during times in which that the things that kind of take priority in our lives are normally might be in a backseat. Like, for example, if you meet someone at work or through school in which that you kind of have this like common bond or things that are going on, you may not be so aware of the extracurricular activities or the things that that person might normally be into. You get into a relationship, everyone knows that you veg. When you get into like the beginning of a relationship, generally speaking, like you kind of just that most people do that. And then the actual real life can kick in at some point, whenever how long it's going to decide. So sometimes like people will find initially they didn't understand that that was important to one another, or they changed their mind and that it is now something that they're going to partake in. And so I find that when that happens and one person's changing and another person does not want to, one, you kind of have to be careful a little bit, because what I see more than not is that the other person who is not changing, the person that does not try and do get in shape or does not want to try and do these things, tends to get jealous or insecure or wondering what's going on with the other individual. And it may not always be a conscious thing, but you're essentially kind of saying in a weird roundabout way to them that you want a different life, that you want things to change, and people don't like change. It's not really something that they're into on average very much. So you're asking your significant other to change their habits, to change their lifestyles, and they might not be down for that. And they also might be worried that you're judging them for not being down for that or that they're not into it. So I take a very kind of coddling approach to it a little bit. I take a very kid glove approach and try to first see the things that they're into. Not what you're into, but what they're into that can kind of meet in the middle of your relationship. Like, for example, if you like doing fitness things or fun things or whatnot, maybe they don't like running, or maybe they don't like going to the gym, but maybe they like to go like zip lining. Maybe they like to go rock climbing. Maybe they like to go do something that's a little bit more activity based, that isn't just working out for the sake of working out. Something like that. If it's a guy, usually guys don't mind so much getting a little bit gritty. If it's a girl, they don't like going out and getting messed up most of the time. That's not usually what most girls are into. Most girls are into being pretty when they're around you because they want you to still find them pretty. So it may have to be stuff that's a little bit more creative as far as that's concerned, or you're going to have to talk with them and make sure that you feel okay with the fact that their makeup might come off. Because that can scare a lot of women. It really can. They don't like being sweaty around you because it, you know, takes away the facade. So I think that one, move at like a really slow pace with the other individual. I think that you should try to find things that they like doing that kind of fits into the fitness realm, that makes them comfortable, and kind of go from there and see if they get bit by the bug. I mean, I know some guys, for example, because this is Krista, so she's dating her boyfriend or her husband, whatever, that they really hate training in a specific sense, but love stuff like Tough Mudder, you know, and or like, you know, Zombie Run, stuff like that. And then they'll start to train to get into shape for stuff like that because they think it's so cool. So there might be like roundabout ways or things that they can get excited about that you can be like, hey, do you like this? But at the end of the day, if it's not something that they want to do, then maybe you have to look at it in the aspect, are they unhappy? Are they having a problem with what's going on? Are they uncomfortable with their health and their livelihood? Or are they fine and you're trying to push something of yourself onto them? Because if they're unhappy, then I can understand a little bit more and you want to help them like become a happier person, or, you know, maybe they just are having some motivational issues, whatever. But if they're happy with how they are and they're just not into that, then they have the things that they do. You have the things that you do. And as long as they're not wallowing in a pound of powdered donuts, I don't really see the problem very much. That's my opinion.
God, Leah's on fire this episode with the answers.
I am on fire. It's Whole Foods.
Right, so
Kevin, the only one in the crowd who was surprised that she didn't just start singing that song, I'm on fire, or we're on fire.
We're on fire.
That's not the song.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Just trying to throw a little love your way.
I'm going to give three examples.
Krista
wanted fun personal anecdotes. Baby, I got your fun personal anecdotes right here.
This week's episode of the FitCast, if people want to tune out, you can, or I mean, this is probably going to be the special to stop. You can just wrap it up. Check us out on thefitcast.com. Check us out on iTunes. Okay, John, now you can go.
First example. This girl was way into weightlifting, way into, like, you know, deadlifts and squats. Freaking awesome. Like, I was so excited about that. We worked out together at, you know, in the gym and stuff, and it was cool. And then here's the problem. She'd be doing her own reading, and then we'd get into arguments about what the hell we were doing.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Oh, yeah. That was so frustrating. That was so frustrating. I'm in grad school for physical therapy. I freaking work with people, and we're arguing about, you know, this and that and whatever. So that clearly
Bougie ball squatting, huh? Comes yeah. into the
No,
night.
It wasn't. It was – no, because she was like a real – I mean, she was deadlifting. She was squatting, bench press. Like, I mean, she was like everything.
She was really into it. Okay.
Yeah. But she was reading, you know, whatever guru and whatever she listened to. And I don't remember, like, the arguments. But, it, you know, it'd be something like, you know, why don't you try this exercise? No, because they said it was no good. Well, what are you talking – you know, and stuff like that. And it's like, come on, really? You know, and so she knew a little too much, and it was just enough to get us into arguments all the time. And of course, I didn't want to hear about that because I know everything, blah, blah, blah. The next example, she never worked out, but she would work out. She would decide she's getting fat. She'd work out for like 3 weeks, decide she looks great, and then stop. It would drive me up the wall. Like, I was like, just stay
like
with
every
it.
Every
girl,
you know? I know, dude.
Pretty much, right? And it was – so it would be like 3 weeks on and like 3 months off and 3 weeks on and 3 months off.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm like, why don't you go back to the gym? Why don't you do – you know, and it just – it never worked. And then that would drive me crazy. Now, my current main squeeze, she's awesome. She's basically more of like a runner, not really so much of a weightlifter. And she basically finds weightlifting boring. So she just needs the motivation. Now, she's a physical therapist. She gets it. She understands that it's important. She's just not interested because it's not interesting to her. But she also was dealing with like a little bit of back pain, you know, from working, you know, from work and this and that. And she knows that she needs to go and start getting stronger. And she went and joined a gym. We talked about that. And she had a consult with like one of the trainers. And I called the gym and I bought her 6 sessions. And honestly, I hated everything that trainer was doing for her. But she liked the trainer, so I wanted to encourage it, you know? And after she kind of did that and felt more confident in a lot of things that she was doing, then I started writing the workouts for her instead. And she just ran her first mutter like 2 days ago.
Nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. And really what I tried to do with Cam that I probably failed at with relationships in the past, I really just try to encourage whatever she wants to do. It doesn't matter to me what she's doing as long as she's doing something that improves her health and makes her happy, because ultimately that's what it's about. If they're not happy, you know, with what they're doing in exercise, it's just going to come back and poison the relationship, especially if you're pushing it, you know? So I think that, you know, in most of the time it is, it's usually the guys encouraging the girls to work out, but it can be the opposite. But you're clearly dealing with someone that does enjoy that lifestyle and someone that probably doesn't, but they get it. It's not like someone says, no, exercise is crap. You know, people get it and they understand that they should. There's a guilt associated with that. There's a uncomfortable feeling when you know you're not really doing the right thing, and oh, here comes my new boyfriend or my new girlfriend, and they've got this all down and they're like crazy, and they go to the gym every day and they eat everything that they're supposed to. And but it makes you feel uncomfortable as the person not doing that. It makes you kind of, you know, not feel like part of the club. So from the standpoint of someone that exercises, you got to drop that ego, and you can't push them to do exactly what you do. You've just got to encourage them to be healthier, encourage them to be happy through, you know, that physical, you know, journey of exercise and whatever it means. So if I'm, you know, clearly I like lifting weights, and if Cam prefers running, then the only time I'm ever going to mention any kind of weightlifting is if she has some kind of injury or gets hurt at something, then maybe the weightlifting is beneficial. But I don't want to discourage her from running or, you know, whatever else that she might be into, because ultimately this is what makes her happy. Why would I not want that? You know, especially if she's uncomfortable with the gym or whatever. So I think that you have to pick and choose your battles. You have to take your opportunities. Like I said, with Cam, it was more about that her back hurts. So I said, well, why don't you try, you know, twice a week? And then she would tell me, you know, this exercise is boring. I don't want to do that. And the programs that I write for her, I would probably never give to another client specifically. You know, I wouldn't write a program this way. But this is what makes her happy. So I'd rather her in the gym, you know, having like a, you know, almost like a CrossFit-y sort of workout where almost every workout is different, because it makes her happier. And then she ran the Mudder, and that was her motivation. Like Lee said, it was her motivation to keep working out because she had this Mudder. And the day that she, you know, she just finished it, and I was looking up like a Mudder or Run of Death,
like a chart,
or whatever other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, no, I was like looking them up for the next time I visit to say, okay, let's do one together. I don't want to do this crap, but honestly, it'll be kind of fun to do it with her. You know what I mean? Like, and it'll give me some motivation too to do something different. So I think that that's really what it's about. I think you have to be very patient and very understanding that just because you like to do something doesn't mean that your significant other will. But at the same time, I do believe that if they're so diametrically opposed to you, it's not going to work either. Like, you have to have someone that gets it, that maybe does exercise and they're just not consistent, but they do understand, they do like it. Because if you have someone that doesn't, then you're going to have, you know, them cooking tacos for you every night, and you're going to be like, it doesn't work for me, you know. So it's a really good question, because I think that everyone in this industry, or anyone that's concerned about their health, has come across this problem when they like someone, they're dating someone, but that someone has this fatal flaw where they're sitting on the couch and not doing anything healthy. And usually, honestly, that could be a deal breaker.
Well, the tacos weren't bad.
Sure.
All right, so that's where we're going to wrap it up. We're getting in close.
And so much reading on one of those questions, and I knew we weren't going
to
get
to it. Which one? The posture one?
Yeah.
Do you want to – what? Give me a ballpark. Are you going to talk for 25 minutes?
So.
Yeah.
Because there's not
much to talk. Well, save it for next time, because I want to actually hear it.
Yeah.
There's not next time. It's going to be in another month, and we'll forget it.
I'll remember, John. I'll remember.
John, maybe if your schedule wasn't terrible.
Your schedule.
Personal stuff.
Yeah, dude. Sorry, man. I'm doing like 8 jobs. What do you want me to do? I've been doing an interview for you this week, John.
Sweet. Looking forward to it.
You know what?
This is what you guys ought to fight. Like, just once. Like, you know?
You know what I'd rather?
Can't we just get along?
I wanted to watch Tokyo Drift tonight. Now it's too late. It's way too late tonight. It's 7:30.
It's like 7:30
in the morning.
Yeah, but I have to watch
you're
it
on
once.
The East Coast, Tommy.
Shut up. I have to watch it once, and then I have to watch it again with the commentary. You guys don't get it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a 3-hour adventure.
Terry.
It's like, I don't even know you.
John, you don't get it. Like, go watch some bullshit, like artsy fartsy. What's that guy? Meeting the Tannenbaums. The guy that makes all that dumb movies, those dumb movies. Yeah. Go watch
really?
That stuff.
Because my recommendations of The Cabin in the Woods and
The Avengers.
Go watch Primer again, because you didn't get it.
It was so indie. Let's just go put on some Avengers and Gummo while we're at it. Like, let's just...
No, like...
No one even got the Gummo joke. Someone out there got the Gummo joke. I know you did. Email me.
All right.
Messed up movie. Make you want to take a bath for like weeks.
I can just answer that.
My life be like, ooh, ooh. let's go watch Tokyo Drift. Everyone have a great week. Thanks for coming back and still checking to see if the podcast is real. And
please give us iTunes.
Yeah. This is, again, this is what we try to deliver. We do get into some good stuff, but if you want to listen to some dry like podcasts, go listen to like BBC Radio or something like that, where it's nice, prim, proper, and they don't say, you know, bad words. But where else are you going to hear about me playing about, you know, that Battletoads?
Mm-hmm.
Got to get some.
Or the ladies making the tacos.
Dude.
You ain't going to find that anywhere else.
Dude, it sounds really bad if you say it like that, Lee.
I'll make tortillas for you.
Billy? You lost all my money, Billy. And I made you lose tortillas. All right, guys, have a great week. Check us out on iTunes. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. I sometimes write articles like every about as regular as the podcast. And we got some cool stuff going on at Body by Bo Online coming up on our 2-year anniversary. I got to quickly mention that. We got some awesome stuff on there. We have like literally so much video content on there. If you're really in the industry and you're like all about continuing education, check it out. You get like a money back guarantee, so the worst case scenario, but I promise you, you're gonna love it. So that's my plug. Don't forget to check out leepeel.com. I hear rumors that she might have some stuff that could be coming. That's I got too specific.
You gave away everything. You're like that double trailer.
Yeah, and if you're gonna be in Japan or if you live near Tokyo, and you perhaps, you know, may want to meet up, I might be taking some requests if you want to go hang out in Harajuku or, I don't know if I'm going to go back to Akihabara, but we'll see. All right, guys. Have a great week. Thanks for joining us.
Strengthofevidence.com. Go visit that too. I hate you, Kevin.
God, that podcast is so boring. Don't listen to it.
See what John's podcast.
Strengthofpodcastevidence.com. Have a great week. I put it in the show notes, dude. All right, we're in the off-topic discussion, and we got some cool stuff to talk about, I think, maybe this time. We're talking a little bit a couple seconds ago. I'm making my annual trip back to Japan now, all booked, ready and cooked, good to go.
This is so exciting. So is there anything you're going to see this time you didn't see last time?
To be honest, I didn't think I was going to be going back until like 2 weeks ago. So I haven't really gone back into my books and stuff and started to look at, you know, the sightseeing, but I'm super, super lucky. Like that's one of the cool things about doing this, you know, the podcast and being on the internet is that, you know, I have connections with people that are, that's a motorcycle going by my house, with, people that live in Japan that speak, my tongue. So when I go there, they can help me, get around a little bit, but, It's like one of those places that after going there once, I am super comfortable. Like I feel like I'm going to have no problem. Like I don't need assistance getting from the airport, taking the airport limousine bus to my hotel. And then the Shinjuku station's 3 minutes from my hotel. So, that is, you know, that's where you go to get to everything. So I'm pumped.
We're never going to see Kevin again, are we? He's going to be lost and never find his way back.
Well, the worst case scenario, you get a taxi and you have like, all right, take me back to the, you know, to the hotel, and you end up spending $60 because taxis are...
they're really expensive there.
Super expensive. Like a taxi from the airport to my hotel would be close to $300.
What's the distance?
It's about an hour and 10 minutes.
Dear Lord, what is that, like 20 billion yen?
No, it's about, you get about about 80 yen per dollar right now. So the exchange rate still sucks on my my side, but it's could be worse. But it's gonna be cool. Hopefully, you know, do some business out there, going to see some people in the industry, and getting taken out to some business dinners. So that will be good. Whenever I don't have to pay for food, I like that. And I can also be shown where good food is and make, like, outside of the 7-Eleven that I bought a bunch of meals in. So, stoked. John, do you have a PSP? I think John went to go deal with his dog, but I was going to tell him he's going to get one of those since he's traveling so much.
What is it? Explain it to me.
A PlayStation Portable gaming system.
Oh, there you are. You were asked a question.
Yeah, I had to.
You were gone.
I had to kick Sandy out of the room.
Yeah, just put her in the cage.
Well, no, I would love to have a friggin' cage for her. They don't sell it here, so I just kicked her out into the kitchen, blockaded the room.
Cool.
And that's kind of what I do.
Put a jar of peanut butter on the floor.
Right. No, I tried bribing her with treats and gifts. That lasted like a minute. What I miss?
Oh, I was going to ask
you. Usually you just ramble on for like 10 minutes in, you know, nonstop, so I figured I had some time.
No, it's nothing important. You can.
He asked you if you had a PSP.
I do not.
Oh, I thought you
I've
did.
Considered it. No, I don't, and I've considered it, but
they're super cheap. I was only going to mention that because I stocked up a little bit. They have games are like $5 and $8 on Amazon right now, brand new.
Wow.
So if you want to get in on some of that stuff, it's a good time to do it.
That's cool.
And last thing I want to mention is Last Resort. Oh my god!
I saw the trailer for it.
Oh my god! The first like the pilot episode's online for free. Oh my god! That's gonna be
so. I was curious if the you know, because it's definitely more of a cinematic type movie based TV show. So how did it carry over in the first episode?
It was...
You know, sometimes those can go kind of weird. Like, they can come across kind of cheap.
It's the best pilot that I've seen since Fringe. Like, it was a... And I honestly, like, it was one of those things that if you've seen Crimson Tide and you liked Crimson Tide...
I like Crimson Tide.
Actually, I can't even use that as an example because... let's think about it. We're talking about Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman. Who's not going to like that? But...
Sure.
I could watch them play cards and not talk to each other for 2 hours, and I'll go see it. So it is hands down like the best pilot that I've seen in a long, long time. It's easily my most anticipated show for this fall season. I think Andre Brower he's a pimp. He's the man. Like he does it. Like he's such a great actor. And I cannot wait to see it. And I don't want to talk about it because it's going to like kind of ruin the premise. But without getting into too much detail, it's, you know, it gives you a good idea of like literally how close we are to complete oblivion when it comes to like all it takes is two guys to turn keys and then like submarines have multiple nukes in them. And if like some rogue sub just fired nukes at, you know, Russia, we could just destroy the world in about 3 or 4 hours, which is scary stuff. But I think you should watch the pilot. It premieres this week on like Tuesday or Wednesday on Real TV. But since I don't have Real TV, I had to watch it online.
I will check it out. I'll do that.
And Fringe premieres this Friday on Fox. The final
John,
13
have you ever
episodes.
Watched it? Did you ever get
in
and watch
like,
it?
I saw like an
never,
episode.
I've still
and
never
I,
seen it. Still
yeah,
never.
I wasn't impressed at all. I thought it was lame.
Oh. Those are scrapping words, John.
I'm ready.
Well.
I saw like the worst movie ever yesterday.
What did you say?
What was it?
I saw The Double. Richard Gere, Topher Grace. Anyone? Oh. No, you probably haven't.
No, because the trailer was the worst. They showed
movie.
The whole premise. They showed
that
Richard Gere was a double agent
bitches.
In the fucking
trailer. No, everyone bitches about that. if the movie actually had a story, the trailer didn't even give away the story. The movie didn't even have a, it didn't even make sense. It was literally one of the, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, Richard Gere can act in anything, I believe. Like, even with like no story, he can still act.
Right.
But it didn't have any story. And the whole like thing where like the trailer ruins it, you find that crap out in like the first 5 minutes. So the trailer doesn't ruin anything. There's still like twists and turns or whatnot, but the twists and turns don't even make sense. But it was the worst movie I've seen in a really, really, really long time.
There was no Take Me Home Tonight featuring Topher Grace.
He was much, much better in that.
I love that.
All I'm going to say is that taking Topher Grace remotely seriously as like an FBI agent, even like a dorky one, awesome. It was a stretch enough as it is. But then later on, it becomes even a greater stretch.
Do they have lasers?
I have to say, my last trip home, I turned off more movies on the airplane than I think I've ever done in my life. Like, you're on an airplane, like, just finished watching the movie, and yet I was so bored.
Still that bad,
it
huh?
couldn't hold
Which was
my
one
attention.
Of them that you turned
yeah.
off?
There's lots of bad movies out right now. There's nothing that they don't make good movies anymore unless really Jason movies. Statham's in it or Han.
Oh, yeah, that's
I'm watching Safe tonight.
Oh!
I haven't seen it yet.
You're in for a treat. For a treat.
Even my dad said Safe sucked, and he, like, you could wave crap on a stick, and he'll give it, like, 2.5 out of 4 stars. And he thought Safe sucked. I swear to God, it would be an hour and a half anticipation
of it being a brilliant film. It just has
of a guy waving crap on a stick, and he'd be like, "Oh yeah, it was cool. Like they did it in different directions."
Did he like
and,
Safe House?
And he said Safe was kind of like eh.
Safe House wasn't so rude.
I saw Safe House.
I thought Denzel was Denzel, so it's like it gets automatic 3 stars,
yeah,
but
it
like
Denzel, but
even what's his face couldn't put off that guy that's in that Green Lantern stuff.
I just made this announcement on Facebook, but the Cabin in the Woods was freaking excellent.
What is it about? It's a horror movie.
Oh my! It's a horror movie, but it's a very particular
kind
take
of genre
on horror movies.
Movie?
Yeah, and it is so well. It's Joss Whedon. Need I say anymore?
Oh, really?
Wait, can I watch that by myself?
Yeah, it's not honestly the only thing that I would critique about it is that it's not really that scary.
Awesome. Great. I don't like scary movies, but I'll watch. I've heard.
Yeah, there's like two.
Lee. It's also got the dude from The West Wing.
Yeah, he's in it.
God, the redhead guy. Why am I blanking on his name? He was also in Tom Hanks' son's TV show on Fox that aired for 2 short seasons.
And what's his name? Thor. Chris.
No, that's not who I'm talking about. From the West Wing.
But he's also in the movie.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yes, he's in the movie.
He's an interesting dude because, again, on the laundry list of dumb crap that I seem to know that I shouldn't know, he's in like multiple movies that have been held for release. Like he filmed a remake of Red Dawn 4 years ago, and it's still not out. Like
it has Bradley Whitford in it.
Whitford, yeah.
But that's because he did a lot of movies with MGM and they went under. That's why all those movies got held.
Well, also, Red Dawn that he made was originally Chinese that, you know, comes in and invades America, and they changed it to North Korea. They went in and used special effects to digitally change the uniforms from Chinese to North Korean. Like, really? Is that worth the money to do that? Like, oh no, but the Chinese, they buy movies now, so can't, you know, the North Koreans, they don't buy our movies, so whatever. Stupid Hollywood. Making Homeward Bound 8 coming out this summer.
But yeah, friggin'
the
Cabin
first time
in the Woods
Bound
was
really
excellent.
Good, Kevin.
Yeah, it's got Michael J. Fox. I know, I've seen it. I have the Michael J. Fox anthology.
Oh my God. Finally saw The Avengers. I've watched it like 8 times.
That's a great movie. Yeah.
Oh, it's
really
a great movie.
On demand.
Batman was disappointing.
You were disappointed in Batman, you?
Agreed.
Really?
I was disappointed, yeah. I was disappointed. Like, I liked it. I walked out of the theater and said, okay, that was cool, but...
Oh, you saw it in America.
Yeah, I did. And then you start to kind of look back at it, and, well, you first of all, just the pacing alone kind of leaves you a little bit empty because there's just a lot of, like just not much going on kind of parts. And most of it is entirely predictable. And then at the end, when you leave, you're like, okay, that was like, I'm very impressed with that movie, but I'm not really impressed with the movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's like Return of the Jedi. Yeah, it was a great movie, but really didn't live up to the first two. And it was like The Godfather 3. Great movie, really didn't live up to the first two. Like, that's kind of what you feel like.
Only a few movie franchises can, like, really peak at the third one. Like, Back to the Future could do it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 could not. But when you kind of...
The Rings, the third one was excellent.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Tokyo Drift. Again, another third.
Gotcha.
And I have a fun fact. I haven't watched that movie since I went to Japan last year, so I'm about due. I got to watch that. Like, maybe I'll watch it tonight. Screw the Patriots.
In honor of booking your trip?
No, like, really. Because it was on... I don't have cable, but I was at my parents' home. Long story short, I'm watching their dog while they're away. And so I turned on TV to watch some of the Jets game, and on TNT or TBS or something like that, Tokyo Drift was on in HD. I'm like, oh God, maybe I'll watch this. But then I went back to my apartment. What else? I have some Japanese arcade machines.
I have no idea what that
means. Oh my God.
That were shipped over here from Japan.
You got nothing.
You've seen pictures. I posted some pictures. Roger Lawson was over. We were playing some Street Fighter.
Yeah. And he told me about that.
Roger Law just changed his Facebook banner to, like, friggin'... What the hell did he change that to? Like the friggin' Powerpuff Girls. I don't know what the hell he... Z-Ball, dying, you know, whatever that
crap is. Calm down, John. It's going to be okay.
Whatever it is.
Dragon Ball Z.
Christ.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, it's Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the problem, John?
Yeah, what's the deal?
Does it offend you, John?
I was just...
It's some of the most tame stuff that Japan puts out, John. Like, we're not... Like, they aren't... They aren't 12 years old.
I was expecting something a little bit... Listen, I was expecting
something... More manly from Roger?
No, not even necessarily. Let's just get into, like, some graphic novel stuff or some, like, you know... I've never heard of this Japanese movie before. Damn, Raj Law, you must have your ear way close to the ground. But Dragon Ball Z, that was too predictable, man.
He really loves Dragon Ball Z, man.
He's gonna, you know,
he likes Sailor Moon too. I don't know if that's common knowledge. I don't know if I should be calling him out like that. But
Sailor Moon was all right. It was it was Power Rangers.
At least
after,
I don't even know what the hell Sailor
Rangers.
Moon is.
It was on after. It's like they're like Power Rangers.
Yeah, well, it was like an early '90s thing or.
There's a good song at the beginning.
Thing. I never watched it. But whatever. You guys are so nerdy. It's so cute.
No, it's good. Like, Roger and I haven't hung out in a long time. So we...
Well, who won?
Actually, a friend
you
of ours,
by a chick,
Serena, like, smoked the shit out of us. Like, I went in there, I'm like, all right, I'm going to start off a little slow because I don't want to be like an ass. Like, I don't want to, like, discourage anyone.
And it starts off with that.
No, but she lived in Japan for a couple of years, so she, yeah. Like, she was in. She
so
was,
the native excuse is what it is, right. Okay.
Yeah, she was. It's all that in her blood. It's what they put in the water there.
All fish makes your reflexes really
fast. Dude, they put Hadouken extract in the water there.
Soy noodles.
Yeah, it was soy.
And karaoke.
Yeah.
It's prepared well.
Tap my body, throw me on the floor.
Okay, new rule. I think we talked about this before, but I don't like people. You got to stop posting pictures of mutilated animals on Facebook because then I block you. Because I understand I donate money to animal, mostly on the, you know, because the Patriots lose and shit, but I do donate animals. I think I donated like $300 to animal rescue on John's behalf last year. And like, yeah. And now this, like the local shelter, I think one of the things I agreed, I'm like, John, all right, just let me donate like $100 of this to my local shelter because, like, you know, we've gotten dogs there before and stuff like that. And now I'm on like their mailing list and they send me like these emails and they send me things that, like, letters in the mail about, like, they have this dog that came up and it has this heart ailment and they need like $10,000 to get like surgery for it. So I'm like, I guess I don't need this $50. Like, I'd rather, instead of spending it on the new whatever Dave Matthews Band CD, I can give it to them. So I don't know if it's Dave Matthews anymore, but the that's what, like, the other thing, don't donate to local shelters because they'll mail the crap out of you and just say, here's more pets, more money.
Don't say that, man.
No, I'm saying donate to, like, the animal, like, or say, uncheck the box that says, or check the box that says, do not send me anything ever again.
Donate the money, check the box.
And it was Serena Bernal who was kicking our ass just because I don't want to mess up her last name. She's on Facebook and she's also in the fitness industry.
What up, Serena?
Sup?
Smoked our asses.
Sup, Serena?
But
she's in the fitness industry. Why she ain't friend request us?
Yeah, I mean, am I friends with her? Because she probably ain't in the industry, homie.
She probably is.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's up with that?
She's friends with Tony Gentilcore.
Oof.
My boy Bren Bruno.
That hurts.
All right, so let's...
Dead to me. She's dead to me.
Let's take a... Okay. Let's take a quick... Actually, well, this is the end of the thing. But we're gonna go do a podcast now.
Just mention her name and he can't even focus.
Yeah.
She got in your head, homie. She beat you at your own game.
She got on your joystick.
Yeah, when assholes use Akuma, like, what do you think is going to happen? And I
know what that means.
You going to lose.
Akuma's cheap. But it's all right. I'm doing. It's okay. All right. So that's it. Bye.